بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعة. من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعص الله ورسوله فلا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا. أما بعد، I start off asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help and aid our brothers in Iraq and to be with them in their times, hardest times, and the atrocities that probably this ummah never seen an atrocity like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be with our youth in Iraq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aid our men in Iraq, our brothers in Iraq. May Allah aid our sisters and widows and orphans in Iraq. May Allah be with them at this time when the old ummah turned down upon them in this massacre. And subhanallah, you can't just give words to explain that what they're going through. يعني, one of the pictures my father seen on TV, on Al Jazeera, is a woman. Imagine this. A woman, she got bombed or shrapnel came into her foot or her hand. And they took her to the hospital. When they took her to the hospital, they have to undress a portion of her body to give her medical treatment. And she's saying, لا تشلحوني لا تشلحوني. لا تشلحوني لا تشلحوني. Don't take my clothes off, don't take my clothes off. She's in the middle dying. And subhanAllah, this was a woman probably, she came from the town, she never seen foreign man or foreign or showed her body to anyone. Subhanallah, you know, my father cried for about 15 minutes, couldn't stop crying, almost passed out when he seen that. It is indeed something that a heart weeps for if the heart has Iman and Islam in it. But alhamdulillah, that shows the aqeedah, that, you know, everything bad has something good to it. And it shows the aqeedah that we teach and the standards of the enemies of Allah to the Muslims. So we start off today, inshallah, with clause number 20. Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah says, he allot, read it Saeed.
He allotted to them fixed lifespans.
Everyone should have this in front of them. If you don't have it, it's a problem for you because you won't be able to follow along. So you could either print it or we could print it out and bring it for you inshallah in the future. The clause is, وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا. And he allotted for them fixed lifespan, meaning Allah gave everything living a certain lifespan where it will die. The first thing, as we always do, is take the proof. Imam al-Tahawi presented this, but he has proof for it. The proof for that, first of all, is كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. Surah Al-Rahman, verse 27 or 26 and 27. Everything is going to disperse. Everything is going to vanish except Allah, and actually the face of Allah in this verse it says. كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Everything is going to be dispersed and fade and go away except the face of Allah. Surah Al-Qasas, verse number 88. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ فَلَا يَسْتَأْخِرُونَ سَاعَةً وَلَا يَسْتَقْدِمُونَ. If their time comes, they will not be able to delay it a moment or proceed it a moment. Yes. Which one of them? Surah Al-Qasas, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Everything is going to be doomed and vanish and go away and die basically, except the face of Allah. فَإِذَا جَاءَ أَجَلُهُمْ. If their time comes, they won't be able to proceed at one moment or delay it another moment. That's in Surah An-Nahl, An-Nahl, verse number 61. وَمَا كَانَ لِنَفْسٍ أَن تَمُوتَ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. No one can die. We think, I can take a gun right now and put it to my head and kill myself. But no one can die except by the will of Allah. Even the time where one kills himself, it's by the will of Allah. In Surah Ali Imran 145. Ali Imran 145. You can get these, you know, later, look at them and write them in Arabic or memorize them in Arabic. That's the first point, the proof. وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا. Everyone has a fixed lifespan. The second point, If someone gets killed now, is that the time he died? Allah ordered him for death? Or did he precede his death by dying at an early age rather than dying from an old age? Was it the time he was supposed to die in? For example, take the people in Iraq. A bomb falls upon them. They're 20, 30, some, most of them are infants and innocent people, young kids who are dying. Is that the time of their death? Was that the time of their death? For sure? The Mu'tazila, disagree. This statement is a reply to the Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila believe if someone got killed or he drowned, that wasn't his full lifespan. He didn't live out his lifespan. No, we say if he's 3 months old and he died, yes, like all of you said, it's common sense. But the Mu'tazila come, and this is a reply to them, the Mu'tazila come and say, no, that person did not live his lifespan. Someone who drowned lived his life. Someone who got killed lived his life. And this really puts you at ease. It makes you live life at peace too. Because for example, I probably mentioned the story of someone I know who died from cancer about 2 months ago. I mentioned the story a few times, but I mentioned it this time, he went to the hospital, strong man. And when he got to the hospital, they said, we do some exam, you go back. He's strong man, he works out, he does everything. As soon as he went in the hospital, they said, you got maybe 2 weeks, 6 months maximum to live. He lived maybe 3 weeks after that day. Now his family are saying, darn. No, if we just found out a few weeks ago, we could have took him to the doctor, and the doctor would have found out he has cancer, and they did chemotherapy, and he would have lived a normal life. They would have killed the cancer in his stomach, it would have killed it. No, don't think like that. It makes you live at ease. You're not going to find out 2 weeks up before. Because Allah wants him to die on that day, he's going to die on that day. So rest in peace, Don't stress yourself. And that's what I told them. Don't stress yourself out. No, you were never going to ever be able to find out that he had cancer if Allah wanted him to die on that day. Even if you took him to the doctor 2 weeks or a year before that, and he found out he had cancer, that's the day he's going to die. That's the day he's going to die. So don't stress yourself out. Live at ease and peace, and that's what this aqidah is trying to teach us. A problem we have over here. We know now the proof. We know now whenever one dies, that's his time. We know that this is a reply to the Mu'tazila, the third one. The fourth one, we know that a hadith that comes in many forms, that whoever visits his family or does silah of rahim, and visits his family, Allah will give him a longer life. Silat al-Rahim tazidu fil umur. That's a weak hadith in this way, but it comes in other hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in other strong hadith where the visiting of one's family will expand in one's lifespan. What is silat al-Rahim first of all? Amran, what's silat al-Rahim? What do we mean by that? Specify from the hadith class.
The
in-laws specifically? Amran, see what you do when you miss hadith classes? Who did I say? I said, Silat al-Rahim is all family. It's not only certain a category of family. It's all family. But what does Silat al-Rahim mean when the Prophet ﷺ talks about it? Is it... When you have bad communication
with your family and you want to go make peace and try to make the
outcome. When you break that barrier, by silat al-Rahim means you have a category of family, a cousin, a relative, the in-laws, whoever they may be, they're in one side, they don't visit you. They never come and visit you. You go and visit them. That's silat al-Rahim. If they come visit you and you visit them, I told you that's not silat al-Rahim. That's, being equal or equivalent to them. ليس الواصل بالمكافئ. ليس the one who visits his family and they visit him, you're just doing, that you're paying them back their visit. The one who's doing silat al-Rahim is the one who, when his family shun him, he goes out and visits them. So the Prophet ﷺ said that expands in one's lifetime. How does it expand when in one's lifetime? When his age is already set. We know. وَضَرَبَ لَهُمْ أَجَالًا. Their time is set. How does Allah add in the age if you do Salat al-Rahim? And if you were paying attention to the end of last time's class, then you're going to answer this. Okay, why does the faces go down? So Allah changes His book.
No, it's already in the book. It's already in the book that He's going to add the year as well.
Okay, keep going. Yes.
It says that the person is going to die. Then after that, says the person is going to wish to make dua that he lives longer. And so.
No, that's the dua. We're talking about Salat al-Rahim. You got the right idea, but talk about Salat al-Rahim. You got the right idea. Yeah, but the principle is the principle. I didn't talk about this specific matter, but the principle you're talking about applies. Which, yeah.
So he was supposed to die at the age of 40, but then it's written that he's going to do the Salat al-Rahim, and then it extends.
That's what you said. Same thing applies with dua. Salat al-Rahim. He's going to die when he's 40. Allah wrote it before the creation of the sky and the earth. You're going to die at 40. But at 39, he's going to go and visit his uncle, who he never visited before. So because he did that, we're going to let him live to 60. That's the way it goes. So even though Allah will expand in his life, it's already in the book. That's one explanation to it. That's one. The second explanation to it is that Allah does change it in the book. Which book? Which one? Which Lawh al-Mahfuz doesn't change. Which book? The ones that angels. There's two books. The Lawh al-Mahfuz and the ones that angels have the task for the year. That one can change. He's living up to 40, add 20 more years because he visited his family. The orders come down, add 20 more years. How many points do you guys have now? Saeed, how many points you have under here now? Four? Okay, we got five now. There's a verse in the Quran where Allah says, وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِن مُعَمَّرُ أَوْ يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرَهُ وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِنْ مُعَمَّرُ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرِهِ. That's verse 11, Surah Fatir. The meaning of that verse, basically, I'm not going to give you word for word so I won't confuse you. Whomever we give him a long life, we give someone a long life, and we take away from that life. So how does Allah say that in the Quran? If we know that already their age and their time span on this life is already calculated, how does Allah say we take away from that life? That means it's not calculated? The answer to that is, first of all, some scholars' interpretation is وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ. We give someone a long life. And وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرِهِ. We give another person a short life. It's not talking about the same person. That's one tafsir according to scholars. وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِنْ مُعَمَّرُ وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمُرِهِ. عُمُرِهِ over here doesn't go back to the same person. It goes back to another person. Meaning we have two people here. One over here who has a long life. And another over here who we take away from his life who doesn't live. Someone who may live 20 or 30 years. So someone who lives a long life. Another one who lives a short life. That's the explanation of that verse. According to some scholars. According to the scholars who say it's the same person, that he has a long life, but we take away from his life, who can explain it to me? Who can explain it? It's easy, we just took it.
If somebody makes dua against you for the Allah's not alive.
Which book is it? Which book is it? The one the angels have. According to the, there's two tafsirs to this verse. It could be the same person Allah's talking about, or it could be two people Allah's talking about. If it's the same person, first of all, let's go with two people. Someone Allah gave a long life, and someone gave Allah a short life. It's simple. That's easy. Allows me to live till I'm 40. He may allow someone else to live until they're 20. Another person till they're 60. So it's talking about... people, or two different categories. One with long legs, one with a short leg. That's the first. It doesn't need any further explanation. That explains itself. The second explanation, according to those who say, this is talking about one person, the hat over here, goes back to the same person, meaning Allah takes away from that person's life. It doesn't mean Allah al-Mahfuz, it means the book that the angels have that we already were talking about. Why? Allah said in the Quran, يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ. Allah erases something or changes something, وَيُثْبِتْ, and confirms something. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, and he has the mother of the book. What is he talking about in this verse? This verse is verse Surah 13, verse 37, 38. يَمْحُ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيُثْبِتْ. Allah erases and confirms in the book. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, and he has the mother of the book. According to those who say this is one person, yes, Allah changes in the book, not the book of Allah al-Mahfuz, the book that the angels have. That book has the tasks of 1 year's worth of tasks for the angel. So Allah says, يَمْحُ, changes, وَيُثْبِتْ, and keeps it confirmed as it is. وَعِنْدَهُ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ, he has the mother of the book. The mother of those books is لوح المحفوظ. لوح المحفوظ. And as you know, the book we're talking about that the angels have is the qadr Allah puts upon you for that year. That's why one of the reasons we worship, that's the reason Laylatul Qadr is called Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, your destiny. What destiny are we talking? Isn't your destiny written before the sky and the earth was written? Yeah, it was written. But this is the destiny that Allah gives the tasks from on top of seventh sky to the angels who write the tasks in their books what to do for this 1 year. That's why you worship Allah, so Allah will, you know, put you barakah and do good for you in that year. That book that the angel has, yes, could be changed. Could be changed by the will of Allah. But the original book, the mother of the books, Allah al-Mahfuz, never gets changed. So who wants to explain this to me now? Who wants to explain it to me? I explained it to, actually, who wants to explain the whole thing to me from the beginning to the end? All the points we took. We took 5 points. Who wants to explain them all to me? Quickly, briefly. It's really not nothing hard. The first point we took, Sa'id. The first point we took, Sa'id. That's not the point. The first point we took?
If you're killed, then you're gonna die.
The first point we took is the proof. Always the proof. The first thing is the proof. We took 5 verses. Second one, I break it down to you like this, you know. If you take a dive in the books of Aqidah, you're not going to know the beginning from the end. If I break it down to you like this and you still can't understand it, we got a problem here. The second point, Ridwan. That everyone's lifespan, when he dies, that's the time Allah allowed him to die. Unlike what the Mu'tazila said, what did the Mu'tazila say?
If you die with an accident, it's not...
You didn't live your lifespan. You didn't love yourself. So he said this, and as you know, he pulls out statements from the left and the right, and everyone has a goal to it. Some of them we know the goal of the Tahawi, some of them we don't. This one in particular was a reply to the Mu'tazila, who say someone who died by getting killed or by murder or by drowning, he didn't live his lifespan. He still had a life which he didn't live. The third point. Silat al-Rahim. What did we say about that?
Visitation of the family.
Okay. What's the explanation? The Silat al-Rahim adds to your life. We said the time is fixed. How do you explain that?
Somebody takes, they shun you, they take hajj from you, they don't want to associate with you, and you take the initiative to go out to visit them. The Silat al-Rahim.
But how does it relate to this statement over here? When the Prophet ﷺ said it adds life to you, how does it relate to this?
It's your initiative that you take, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of your nature, you could be, Allah expands your lifespan.
It was already written in love.
It's written in the
Lawh al-Mahfuz that it's already going to be added because of something, or it could be changed where?
In the angels'
book. The same thing with this verse over here. The reason I brought this, Silat al-Rahim, I didn't just look up the books and say, okay, let's bring Silat al-Rahim. The reason is people use this as proof against you. You gotta know how to respond to these people when they bring it. When they bring, oh, Silat, Allah said it's in Silat al-Rahim that you'll change the age. This is not right. Part of your aqidah is you gotta believe that your destiny, when the time someone dies, that's his time of death. What do they say? Silat al-Rahim adds to your age. They pop that proof to you, you gotta know how to answer them. They bring you this verse, وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ مِن مُعَمَّرُ. You gotta know how to reply to that. How do you reply to this one? That's the last point we took. Allah said, yes, which one? Wait, let's get this, then we'll go to that one. That's part of this one. That's part of number five.
You know how he said the qadr that the angels write for the whole year, can get changed.
Yes, but we said that after this right here.
Let me
get to this, then we'll say the proof. يَمْحَ اللَّهُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah said over here, first of all, this verse means some people who live a long lifespan and others who live a short lifespan. Or, that's one meaning. Or his lifespan is shortened. The same person. It could mean, according to the tafsir, two people or one people. So according to two people, how do we explain it?
Okay.
Yes. Like that, I know you know. Let the door. It's explained. It always happens. Someone lives 60, someone lives 40. So it's talking about two categories of people. Okay, now take it to the tafsir where they're talking about one person. وَلَا يُنْقَصُ مِنْ عُمْرِهِ. His lifespan is taken away. That same person. So what do we talk about? How do we apply it to someone who says that?
Allah changes it in the angel's book.
Changes it in the angel's book. Or it's in Allah al-Mahfuz that he's going to live up to 60, but he's not going to live up to 60. When he's 40, he's going to die. It's already written in the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Lawh al-Mahfuz never changes. The only thing that may change is what the qadr, the angels have in their own books. Yes. Allahu a'lam. I don't know. Probably, I don't know. I personally don't know. I don't know if we have any proof on any specific name for it.
But you remember you said that the book of the angels is for 1 year. Every year to year.
It refreshes up every year. That's why we call it Laylat al-Qadr, because inna anzalnahu fi Laylat al-Qadr. Some say according not only the Quran, but also your Qadr, your destiny for that 1 year. Okay, let's take number 21. Does everyone understand this little tiny three-word statement? Does everyone understand that little statement? Yeah. Oh, okay, back to you. You said, what's the verse? What's the proof that the book that the angels have changes? What's the proof? Surah 13, verse 37 and 38. يمحو الله ما يشاء ويثبت. وعنده أم الكتاب. يمحو الله ما يشاء. يمحو, actually, if I take an eraser and erase this, that's yamhu. That's yamhu in Arabic. What it means in the Quran is Allah changes. Yamhu. Ma yasha. Allah changes that which He wishes. Wa yuthbit. And confirms and keeps it the same, another portion of it. So He changes and He keeps the same in another portion of it. Wa indahu ummu al-kitab. And He has the mother of the book, which is the third category, is the Lawh al-Mahfuz. This one is talking about the book with the angels. This one is talking about Allah al-Mahfuz. Yes.
Surah 13, verses
37, 38.
And then I have a question. What things will make your life shorter? We know something will expand it.
Allahu a'lam. Maybe the dua of someone upon you, you know?
Is it true that sins should also shorten your lifespan?
I don't know. I don't know of any proof on that. Could be, you know, the sins return upon someone in this life in bad, before the life after. That could be one of the reasons. Yes.
I'm trying to answer at least. Maybe it's that dua that you make, you know, for Allah to extend your life, you know, it's good for you, but it's short, and if it's not good for you, maybe that is short.
If you make dua upon yourself, or the dua, that's the istikhara of keeping one alive if it's good for him, or making it short if it's not good for him.
Isn't it, subhanAllah, that when somebody's mabrur, subhanAllah, you know, you oppress someone, and you constantly oppress that person, and Allah says that his dua is just waiting. Allah does not ignore the dua, and his dua, if he makes against you, that Allah destroy you.
Could be that may Allah doom him, may Allah destroy him if someone's really oppressed. You know, the dua of a oppressed is a spark that goes to the sky and doesn't miss. You know, it floats in the sky, the dua of the oppressed in an authentic hadith, until it gets answered. It doesn't get rejected. Yes.
Somebody does something bad to their health, it can't take away from their life.
If someone does something bad to their life, they kill themselves, or they do something to cause them maybe to die earlier. They did that under their choice, but that was the time Allah said that they're going to die. Allah wrote it in the book that they're going to die. The point is, Allah already knew that that person is not going to live till he's 60. He's going to die when he's 28. 21. Read it, Saeed. Basically, Allah knew everything, and you know the proofs from that, from other statements that we took. Allah knew everything before He created us. Allah knew everything before He created us. Unlike what some people say, that Allah did not know until He created. He became a alim when He created us. He became a alim upon us when He created us. Of course, Allah said in the Quran, وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ, so many times. So Allah knows about us before He created us. And He knew everything we would do before He created us. Everything about us and everything we would do before He created us. And I think a best statement to better explain this is a statement in Arabic. Allahu ya'lamu ma kan wa ma sayakun Allahu ya'lam ma kan. Allah knows that which happened in the past. Wa ma sayakun. Present and future. Present and future. Past. Allahu ya'lam ma kan. What's in the past? Wa ma sayakun. Present and future. Wa ma lam yakun. Law kan kayfa yakun. What does that mean? Who wants to say what it means? The last one. Sounds a bit confusing. وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ What's لَمْ يَكُنْ? Explain it, Ramran.
What does not take place even though...
What did not take place?
If something was to happen...
That's not right.
If something was to happen...
Look at it again closely.
Isn't it like, for example, if I were to take this door, and if I took this door, Allah also knows what will happen if I were to take in this door.
وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ Allah also knows what didn't happen
if it
were to happen. What didn't happen? What do we mean by that? I'll give you an example. وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَكَاذِبُونَ Allah says about the people in the hellfire, they're liars. If we take them back to the life before, because you remember from the death lecture number 3, they start screaming in hellfire, oh Allah, one more chance, one more chance. That never happened. لَمْ يَكُنْ It never happened where they're going to get another chance. But even though it didn't happen, he knows what's going to happen if he were to allow it to happen. وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَا نُهُوا عَنْ If we return them, they're going to do back exactly what they did before. That's example of number 3. So Allah knows what happened in the past. Allah knows in the present and the future. And Allah knows what didn't happen if it were to happen, how it's going to happen. Everyone understand that? Yes. That's not an ayah. That's a statement to describe his statement about Allah's knowledge about what we're going to happen in the past and the future. It's a very famous statement that a lot of scholars use because it sums it up and it's pretty easy to memorize. Allahu ya'lamu ma kan wa ma sayakun wa ma lam yakun law kana kayfa yakun. Okay, the next one is number 22. Go ahead, Saeed.
He ordered them to obey him and forbade them to disobey him.
A أمرهم بطاعته. What number is that? أمرهم بطاعته ونهاهم عن معصيته. Allah ordered them to do what He wanted them to do, and He deterred them from the things He didn't want them to do. What's the proof for that in the Quran? No, that's ta'muruna, that's us. We should ordain the good and forbid the evil. Indirectly, it's a proof. We want a direct proof for that, yes. That's partially a proof, yes. We want a direct proof. It's a famous one. I think all of you know it. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ Verse 56, Surah Al-Dhariyat. He ordered them to obey Him, and He deterred them from disobeying Him. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I created human engine to worship Me. What's the meaning of worshiping Allah? Obey. Obey what He says, and stay away from what He told you to stay away from. Another verse, proof, direct proof. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Allah created life and death, which is us. Life and death, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ To test you, أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Who's the best of all doers? Who does the best of all deeds? Why? How can we do deeds if we don't know what He ordered us and what He refrained us from? Surah Al-Mulk, verse number 2. Al-Dhariyat 56. Okay, that's the first point. Everyone got this? This one was a one-pointer with an example. Allahu ya'lam, ma kan wa ma sayakun, wa ma lam yakun, law kan kayfa yakun. And under it was the example of the people in hellfire. The ones in hellfire, Allah says, even if we return them to the life before, they're gonna do the same as they did before. We're over here, 22. Over here, the proof you have it. The second point is that He ordered people. And did Allah know beforehand what people are going to do? Did Allah know if I'm going to be astray or if I'm going to be good? He did? You guys sure? For sure? We don't got no Mu'tazila? Okay, if Allah knew what Ahmed Jibril is going to do, why would He create me? 20 years to live, or 30 years and 40 years. Why would He create me for that lifespan if He already knew what I'm going to do? A lot of people use that, you know, to go astray. Use that statement to go astray. The reason behind that is that there's a difference between Allah's knowledge and the reward and punishment. Just because Allah knew, His reward or punishment is not based on the knowledge. Just because Allah knew someone's going to go astray beforehand, His reward is not based upon that. Just because He knew someone's going to be astray, His punishment is not based upon that. His reward and punishment is based on your actions. Those actions, you got a choice in that. You see the breakdown of that? Some people say, you know, Allah created me, already know what I'm going to do. That's it. The heck with it. I'm going to do what Allah said. No, the reply to that is no. Allah created you. He has your knowledge. He has the knowledge of what you're going to do. His knowledge in that, what you're going to do, is not the basis of your punishment. His knowledge in what you're going to do is not the basis of putting you in heaven. It's the basis of punishment or reward is your deeds, and you have a choice, of course, in your deeds. That's why we say, when someone goes to Hajj, what do the people call him? Hajji. It's not right to call someone Hajji, but, you know, they refer to him as Hajji. Or someone who prayed. Salah. He's a Musalli. Or someone who's a worshipper. Abid. Do we say Allah's the Abid? He's the Abid, because He did it Himself. He's the one who has control over His actions. Allah created him, but He has the choice of doing good. He has the choice of praying the Asr on time, or walking out to the bar and drinking at the same time the Asr is. Yes. What you end up choosing, Allah had the knowledge and wrote for it. Yes. Wrote it, yes.
I think it helps to explain that when Allah wrote something, He didn't write it like from His will, saying that they would force you to do
Well, yeah, it is from his will, but he had the knowledge, and when he has the knowledge, it's not forced. Yes, Allah has the knowledge. And when he put it in the book, he had the knowledge, and he put it in the book because he has the knowledge of that. However, when he created human beings, they have the choice. He knows that people will have the choice of doing the good or doing the evil. Prior knowledge doesn't have nothing to do with forcing you. Prior knowledge of Allah has nothing to do with forcing you. We're not like the Jabriya who say you're forced. You're like a machine. You're like a robot. Remember what did the Jabriya say? What did the example I gave you? You're like a feather. Like a feather you throw out of this window. You have no control over it. The next statement, Saeed.
Everything happens according to his decree and will. And his will is accomplished. The only will that people have is what he wills for them. What he wills for them occurs, and what he does not will does not occur.
This is talking again, stressing and reiterating the will of Allah. Everything happens by the degree and will of Allah. And whatever will human beings have is controlled by the will of Allah. The proof for that. Take first of all the proof of that. Who can tell me? Yes. What's the proof? We need a verse. This is talking about Mashi'a and will. And we need something with will directly in it. That's broad proof for it. But we need a direct proof with the will of Allah in it. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ You will never will unless Allah wills. There's many of that in the Quran. One of them is in 76:30. Surah 76:30. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا Surah 81, verse 26. Also there's Surah 6. Verse 11, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ Meaning, وَلَوْ أَنَّنَا نَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ If we bring down upon them the angels, وَكَلَّمَهُمُ الْمَوْتَى And the dead people get up and talk to them. وَحَشَرْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ قُبُلًا We gather everything up to them so they can believe. مَا كَانُوا لِيُؤْمِنُوا They won't believe until when? Until when? No. What are we talking about here? What is it? What are we talking about here? Until Allah will. That's what we're talking about. Until Allah will. Meaning, this is going to happen only by the will of Allah. If all that happens, it will not happen unless Allah will. Yes. Well, maybe if we finish this, you'll get the answer to your question. I think we will. If we don't, then tell me again, I'll answer, inshallah. That's 6, number 11. That's a good one. All the verses are good, Ridwan. Some people say, some sects say, that Allah willed for the kafir, Islam. And the kafir willed for himself, kufr. So what does that mean? What does that mean? Their will is above Allah's will. That means, this is the Mu'tazila again saying that. You know, that Allah will, the ones who say the person creates his own action. He has full control. Allah has no control over his action. He creates his own action. Allah willed for him Islam. He's a kafir. Allah willed for him Islam. And he willed for himself kufr. So that means his will is on top of Allah's will. Of course, that's not right. We know that. How do you explain that? Did Allah will for a kafir to be a Muslim? No? No? Did he or no?
Allah will.
Yes, go ahead.
It depends on if you're talking about Shari'iyah.
Yes, that's the explanation. I see everything we go back, you have to connect it back with stuff we took in the past. It's a chain. If we take this lesson, you forget something in the past, you're not going to understand. That's the problem with this. So yes, it goes back to Sharia. Allah willed for everyone to be a Muslim. But that will is kawniyah. It doesn't have to happen. That's the will. Sharia is when it happens. So the will, you know, it's under Allah's will that he wants him to be a Muslim. But it doesn't really have to happen. Which one is it that Allah wills for everyone to be a Muslim? Don't look at your notes. Don't look at your notes. Shar'iyya. Shar'iyya. Why would you say it's kawniyya? Kawniyya, we said it's all of Allah's will. We said the shar'iyya is the good one. The one that Allah really chooses for you. So shar'iyya, we said, could happen, and it doesn't have to happen. We said shar'iyya could happen, and it doesn't have to happen. Allah wills for everyone to pray 5 times a day. That's shar'iyya. He wills it. But does it happen? It doesn't really have to happen. That's shar'iyya. That's shar'iyya, yeah. Kawniyya is overall will. The good and the bad. The one who goes in the bar and it happens is the kawniyya, and the one who prays also is the kawniyya. However, the shar'iyya is more detailed. It's the good part of the irada, the will of Allah. Some people have a problem. You got the proof, first of all. Second of all, some people have a problem with a few verses in the Quran, like the ones who say, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا. This is what you said, Umran, right? Those who commit polytheism say, if Allah didn't will us, or that's supposedly what the verse claims, that they claim the verse says, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا, if Allah didn't want us like this, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا عَبَدْنَا مِنْ دُونِهِ. We wouldn't have worshipped other than Allah. And there's many verses that go in that direction, like that in the Quran. One of them is in Surah Al-An'am, 148. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَا مِنْ دُونِهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ نَحْنُ وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا. Get these verses later on, but right at least the surah and the verse number. The second one is Al-Nahl 35. وَقَالُوا لَوْ شَاءَ الرَّحْمَنُ مَا عَبَدْنَاهُمْ مَا لَهُمْ بِذَلِكَ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. That's Al-Zukhruf, verse number 20. Al-Zukhruf, verse 20. Al-An'am 148. Al-Nahl 35, Al-Zukhruf 20. So some people say, it's because of that, we were forced to do what we're doing. And they say, Allah denounced them in the surah. Allah denounced them in the latter portion of every one of these verses. Every one of these verses, at the end of it, Allah denounced those who talk about that. Why you guys use this as proof when Allah in the end part denounced you for saying that? And they say Allah didn't denounce them for attributing His will of forcing them to be in shirk. He didn't denounce them for that purpose. He denounced them for attributing shirk to Allah. This is what they say. This is, deviant sects, you know. And amongst them is the Mu'tazila, but not only the Mu'tazila. So they say Allah denounced them in these verses, but not because they attributed the will in their force to do shirk. Not because of that. Because they attributed shirk to Allah. So that's why they were denounced. The points you should know about this is, first of all, there's two wills of Allah. And they take the will of Allah that He likes and pleases. The first point that they use the argument is that the will of Allah that He likes, you know, we have, who can tell me briefly irada shar'iyya? Irada shar'iyya. Give me that. Quick definition. One liner before we type the point.
Everything that Allah wills that He likes.
Shar'iyya. Kawniyya. Kawniyya.
Everything.
Okay. They take the kawniyya, everything of Allah's will falls under the kawniyya. This is a section of al-kawniyya. This is the one that Allah likes. So they take the kawniyya, as something that Allah forced them to do, and that's not right. We already said about kawniyya, it could happen, and it doesn't have to happen. So they take it, that the kawniyya must happen. Meaning a kafir is a kafir, because the will of Allah, al-kawniyya. Meaning the will of Allah, al-kawniyya, must happen. And we said, that's not true. The next point is that Allah denounced them also in all three of these verses for not following the Shara. So how could you be forced? How could you be forced to be a non-believer if Allah is denouncing you for not following His Shara? How could Allah say you're wrong for not following this path if He forced you to do that? If He forced you to commit shirk, and if He forced you to do kufr, why would He denounce you if He forced you? If I force someone to do something, I blame myself. I don't blame that person. So Allah blames them and puts the blame on them. And, you know, I think the best way to explain that is a man came to Umar ibn Khattab, radiallahu anh, and he had stole. And Umar told him, why did you steal? And he said, Allah wrote in His book that I'm going to steal. Umar told him, okay, we're going to cut your hand because Allah wrote in His book that we're going to cut your hand. So it was a reply, yeah, Allah wrote in His book, but you had the choice. He had the choice to go and steal it, and he didn't have to go. The same with worship, the same with ibadah, the same with being a Muslim and a kafir, the same with being astray and on the right path. Allah wrote it in His book, He willed it, but you have the choice under your control, and Allah judges you by the actions and the that which is under your control. That's why Allah says in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Those are liars. Those are liars. That's why we go to people today, we tell them, pray, or when Allah wills. Allah already willed it for you. It's this one right here. But you gotta get up and move and do something about it. That's under your control. Allah said in the Quran, كَذَلِكَ كَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Liars, the one who say that. You tell them, you know, come on, stop doing this. Stop going to the club. Stop going to the bar. When Allah wills. Allah willed it already for you. You have the choice to get up and change yourself. You have it. It's under your control. Surah Al-An'am 148. There's a problem under this statement, and this problem is an argument or a quarrel that happens, that is narrated authentically between Adam and Musa. And we end it with this one, between Adam and Musa, where Musa objected to Adam. And the beginning of the hadith is in a way vague, but pay attention, and I want one of you to solve the hadith for us. The beginning of the hadith is vague. It's a quarrel between Adam and Musa. And Adam tells him, you know, Musa is blaming Adam. And Adam tells him back to him, why you blame me for something Allah wrote upon me before I was born? So they say, what does the hadith mean first of all? First of all, what do you take it to mean? As vague as it is right now. Adam and Musa had a quarrel or argument. And this is a hadith, authentic hadith. We can't disapprove of it because it's authentic hadith. Musa tells Adam, why did you do this to us? You know, it's your fault. And he said, why do you blame me for something that was written upon me before I was born? So meaning, what is it?
He's saying it's coming here.
The Prophet commented on the hadith and said that Adam had won the argument. What does he mean by that? Well, if this hadith is as face value, take it, that means we're forced to do the sins. Because if they're referring back to the sin, then Adam was forced to eat from the tree. Forced. He says, why do you blame me for something Allah wrote upon me before I was born? They use this. A lot of people use this. The problem here is that they weren't talking about that. What were they talking about? Leaving Jannah. MashaAllah. Leaving Jannah. See? And that's where you get the difference. Leaving Jannah. You don't attribute and say you were forced to commit a sin. You can't do that. Because that you have your choice. However, you may have atrocity or a trial and tribulation to happen upon you. That you say is by the qadar and that was forced upon you. For example, someone sits in a gathering and sits all day long backbiting with a group of people and does evil stuff. And then on his way back, he gets in a car accident. He can't say it was by the qadar, it happened forcefully upon me that I sat in that gathering and did that sin. But he can say that about the accident. He can say that about the accident. That's how we get our patience from the qadar, the trials and tribulations that happen upon us. We can attribute it that forcefully happened to us. Forcefully. Someone who gets imprisoned. Someone who has a family relative. It's the qadar of Allah forcefully going to happen upon him. But the sin, you can't relate it in the same way. The sin, you have the choice in it. So Adam alayhi salam had the choice in the first one. And they weren't talking about the first one, which is eating from the apple. They're talking about the second one, which is being taken from heaven, which all of us go through. We're not in heaven because Adam alayhi salam was taken out of heaven. The next point in this is the Qadariyya. Again, I want to hear a brief summary. What did the Qadariyya say? What did the Qadariyya say? What's their belief? Qadariyya, Jabriyya, Ahl Sunnah. Remember, we took it. And I remember we took it in detail. You guys better be looking at your notes when you go home. What does the Qadariyya say?
The Qadariyya, the people that say that everything, like Allah has no will.
They don't do that.
Yes. You have your own will under your control. Full will. Allah has no control over your action. In fact, they say, you created your action. Ahmed, I carried this chair. I created the action. Okay? We don't want to hear what the reply to that is now. What does the Jabriyya say?
Everything is preordained feather.
You're a robot. You're a machine. You're a feather in the sky that have no control over. You're a robot that does everything. And of course we reply to them. What does Ahl Sunnah say? One went to extreme and proven the will of Allah. Look at how radical the deviant sects are. One went to extreme and proven the will of Allah, and one went to extreme and proven the will of human beings. Yes. One went to extreme and proven the will of Allah. One went to extreme and proven the will of human beings. Ahl Sunnah came in the middle. And they said, human beings have a will. That will is under the will of Allah. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. And you have the choice in your actions. Allah created your action. Allah created the action that I'm going to lift it. But I have the choice. I can lift it now or I can wait. I don't have to lift it. So Allah created the action. But I have the choice in doing it or leaving it. And of course, the will of Allah is 100% independent. It's independent of any human beings. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and down. And this is a reply to the deviant sects. You know, as I always tell you, and I will keep stressing out, because I don't want you to go to some sect, you know, some guy who doesn't know what he's talking about shirk, and you say, oh, sounds good, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has control over a portion of the world. And I want you, when you hear that in a lecture, or when a deviant comes in our local communities, immediately your immune system kicks in. This is a mushrik. This is a mushrik. I don't care how big his turban is or how famous he is. It doesn't really matter to us. What matters to us is that you know the foundation of your aqidah. Your immune system got to be strong. So the will of Allah is independent and supreme of the will of everyone else. Even the Prophet ﷺ. When a man told the Prophet ﷺ, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ, the Prophet ﷺ said, what Allah wills and you will. He said, did you make me a partner to Allah? Meaning, you can't say that. The Prophet, the best man, he's not a wali. You know, you can't say he's a wali that lived in the 14th century and he reached a certain level or whatever it is and he controls a portion of the earth and he can bring good and bad to you. That's a bunch of lies. If the Prophet ﷺ says, you make me a partner to Allah just because you say, ma sha Allah, wa shi'at, he said, don't say that. In another hadith, someone said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't say مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ وَشِئْتْ. Say, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ. مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ شِئْتْ. For example, Qaisar can do something. I say, Qaisar, you know, if he knows something, I know he can have something under his power. And he can do it. I say, whatever Allah wills, and then what you will, if it's under his control. Now that the Prophet ﷺ is dead, we can't say, worship. He's dead. He doesn't have control over that certain issue or particular issue that, you know, he had when he was alive. So the will of Allah is independent of anyone else's will, a wali, or anyone above or below a wali. Even the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, I conclude this halaqah with a statement by Wahib ibn Munabbih. And probably this will sum up what the eyes I see are going through. He said, I looked into Qadr. Basically, most of what we're talking about is Qadr. He said, I looked into Qadr, and I got confused studying Qadr. I found the most knowledgeable in Qadr who refrain from going in depth in Qadr. And the most ignorant in Qadr are the ones who go in depth talking about Qadr. Some people take this issue of Qadr and as we forced and are we not forced. It's so easy. It's very easy. Allah has the will, gave you the will. And He gave you the choice. Everything's under Allah's will. Someone who mass murders, the problem in Iraq, the mass murder, the adultery, the drinking, all is under Allah's will. But no, they have the choice. President Bush can make a call and say, bring the troops all back in here. He has the control. He has the choice. But it's all under Allah's will. So we have a choice, and that's a problem a lot of people don't understand. This is the issue in Qadr. You know, he breaks it down into statements as we go along. You'll get more knowledge about it, inshallah. But a lot of people take this to an extreme. And that makes becomes their only focus and aim in this life is the Qadr. And keep the statement of Wahab ibn Munabbih in mind, where he says, you know, the most ignorant are the ones who go too deep into Qadr, and the most knowledgeable on it who stay in the surface of it. And with this I conclude, inshallah, if there's any statements or remarks or criticisms or questions, we'll take them, inshallah. Go ahead.
How do you spell in Arabic Surah Al-An'am?
Al-An'am. Review your notes when you go, and if you have any questions on this, it could be confusing. If you have any questions, we'll answer them. We'll start the next class by answering the questions. You know, you could have questions or statements or something you're confused about, and we answer them. Qaysa.
You said thumma shit, right?
Thumma shit. Thumma. What's the difference between wa and thumma?
Giving credibility to the first party when you say
thumma,
meaning
wa. What's
the,
what's wa in Arabic?
And
thumma.
After.
And then after. Second. Meaning the will of Allah comes first, and then وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. The will of Allah comes for your will is under the control of the will of Allah. Yes. See, you were not here with that. You were not here. But if one of the brothers has the notes, that if they can give it to you, it's shar'iyya, kawniyya. Kawniyya is the overall will of Allah, of everything. Shar'iyya is the will of Allah that Allah likes. Kawniyya happens. Shar'iyya could happen. It doesn't have to happen. Yes.
What
in that is it confusing? Just because Allah knows in the past, it doesn't mean you're forced. Just because Allah has knowledge in the past, before you were created, before the sky and the earth was created, it doesn't mean you're a robot. Because although Allah had prior knowledge, it doesn't mean you're a robot. You have the choice. When you're going to be created, when you're going to be born, you have the choice to do this and that, but Allah knows which one you're going to choose. And then later on, we're going to know that Allah misguides people. And He guides people. And what that means, you know. But basically, just because Allah wrote it in His book, just because it's in Allah's prior knowledge, when you're born later on, it doesn't mean you're forced to do that. Allah has it in His book. It's prior knowledge. But you have the choice. You have the choice. Allah knows which one. Because Allah's knowledge, alim, fully knowledgeable, that means He knows which one of the two choices you're going to take. You know, basically, you know, we can't compare it to Allah's knowledge, of course. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. But it's like me telling someone, don't jump in that fire. If you jump in that fire, I already know what's going to happen. You know? But he has the choice. I told him, don't jump in that fire. He has the choice to jump in that fire or stay away from that fire. I already know what's going to happen if he jumps in that fire. Allah has the knowledge, but He gave you the choice. You got the choice. One of them, the good or the bad, to follow along with it. Yes.
Can you repeat the explanation of this
Shar'iyya? Which one? This one?
Yeah, this one.
Allahu ya'lam ma kan. Allah knows. This one, right? Allahu ya'lam ma kan. Allah knows what's in the past. Wa ma sayakun. Sayakun, present and future. Wa ma lam yakun, what didn't happen. If it happened, how it would happen. Write it for word, like I'm saying it. Allah knows what happened in the past. Allah knows and what's going to happen in the present, what's happening in the present and in the future. And what did not happen, وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ, if it happened, how it would happen. What's the example we gave on that? The last one. وَلَوْ رُدُّوا لَعَادُوا لِمَنُوا عَنْ. Did it happen that Allah brought him back to life and gave him a second chance? Didn't happen. If it happened, he told us how it's going to happen. They're going to be just like they were before.
Who said that?
Allah did.
Well,
oh, this one? Oh, scholar, this statement. I don't know who the originator of it is. I'm sorry, I thought you meant about the verse. This statement is a scholar statement. I really don't know who the first scholar who said it is. But it really sums up Allah's knowledge and gives you an overall, you know, idea of Allah's knowledge when we say Alimun Hakim, Alimun Bima Tasna'un, Alimun Khabir, and everything. I never seen it attributed to a certain particular scholar. Any questions, sisters? Okay.
Is that number 5 there? Is that Quran?
Yes. وَمَا يُعَمَّرُ. What verse did we say that thing?
That's not 1337.
No, that's a different one. 1337 is Yamhallahu. This one is 3511. This one, this verse, 1337, is Yamhallahu, this one right here. Yamhallahu ma yasha. Allah erases or changes what He wills and confirms. Wa indahu umul kitab. He has the mother of the book, which is Allah al-Mahfuz. This is 3511 and this is 1337-38. Okay, Jazakumullah khair. There's no seerah this week. For some time, inshallah, it'll start. Sometime in the future, we'll not, you know. But we have tafsir tomorrow in Dearborn for everyone to attend. And of course, then the following that Monday is in Ann Arbor, the hadith. Jazakumullah khair. May Allah reward each and every one of you for attending and for the time they took out to come over here. Inshallah, it was beneficial. And inshallah, we apply what we know and it be a benefit for us in this life and in the life after. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى سَيِّدِنَا مُحَمَّدُ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمُ